Praise God. I was reminded tonight that there are two fires that are mentioned in the Bible in the book of John. I hadn't thought about that for a little while, although I preached on it before. But we read, I believe it's in John 18, of a fire that Peter found comfort in for a while. Let's look at that for a moment. We heard a little bit about Peter tonight already. Brother Paul called our attention to Peter's failure and God's mercy. Somebody said that that's the best thing that ever happened to Peter, that he failed the Lord in the way that he did, because that brought him into an experience with the love and the mercy of God that he would have never had. You know, we're always trying to deserve something from God. That's just our way of thinking, trying to be good enough, trying to deserve his love. We heard it tonight, I don't feel worthy. And we want to feel worthy. We think we should feel worthy or be worthy. But God's not interested in our being worthy at all. That was never part of his plan, that we would be worthy of him. He didn't wait for us to be worthy before he sent his son. He doesn't wait for us to be worthy before he touches us with his love. I've experienced the sweetest touches of God's love when I've been most conscious of my failure, when I least expected it. I remember one time I just failed the Lord in my heart, and I came up to camp. I was seeking help from God. I was wanting to get right with God. And Brother Gardner laid his hands on me, and he didn't know my situation, didn't know what was going on in my heart. And the Lord spoke through him. And I expected the Lord to say, "You've been a bad boy. And you've got to straighten this out and, you know, repent and so on." But the Lord didn't say anything like that. He told me how much he loved me. He told me how he knew my heart and how he knew I wanted to please him. And he didn't call any attention to my failure, my sin, the mistakes that I had made. But he just reminded me that he loved me so much. You know, that did me a world of good. That renewed something in me. That brought hope into my life. A hope that had nothing to do with me, but had everything to do with Jesus and his great mercy. Praise God. And I suppose that's akin to what Peter experienced, well, maybe perhaps on a smaller scale, but here in John chapter 18, we read about that fire. The Lord told his disciples that all of you are going to forsake me and flee. He's going to be left alone. And Peter said, "Lord, even if everyone else forsakes you, I'm not going to do that. I'll die for you rather than deny you." And Jesus says, "Is that so, Peter?" He said, "I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny three times that you ever knew me." And Peter couldn't believe that. And we read here in the 15th verse, Simon Peter followed Jesus. This is after Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and brought to Caiaphas now, stand trial. Peter followed Jesus, and so did that other disciple. The disciple was known unto the high priest. He went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Of course, the writer is speaking of himself, John the apostle. And but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. John had some clout. He had some in with the high priest. He must have come from a prominent family. And so he had access into the palace there. And when he went in, he spoke to the woman at the door and said, "Let that fella in too." And so she let Peter come in as well. And then it says that the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Here we read about a fire that was kindled by the enemies of Jesus, the soldiers and the officers, these that would torture him, these that would mock him, these that would crucify him. They built a fire to keep themselves warm on this cold night. And Peter mixed in with them, and he warmed himself by their fire. I remember reading a book that was left me by Brother Gardner. Brother Gardner had a big library of books. He was quite a student and reader. And when he passed away, they made some of his books available to some of his students. And Brother Gordon one time told me that I should get hold of a book by Fulton Sheen entitled The Priest Not His Own. And I didn't know how to get hold of it at that time. But when I was looking through his library of the books that I could choose from, I saw that book and I grabbed it. Because I remembered he told me to read it. And I began to read it. And it was just one sentence or two where Fulton Sheen mentioned these two fires in the book of John. One that was kindled by the enemies of the Lord. Fire in the Bible represents the Spirit, either the spirit of the world or the spirit of God. And this fire that was started by the Lord's enemies speaks to us of the spirit of the world. There's a fire burning, and the people that don't know God, the enemies of Christ, they all gather together and warm themselves around this fire. And sometimes we as Christians, we find ourselves mixing among them and trying to find comfort and pleasure in the fire of the world. We find that as Peter got warm by that fire, he got cold on the inside toward God. And that's always the effect. The closer you get to the world, the colder your heart gets toward God. And sometimes you don't even realize it's happening. You listen to the music of the world, and it has its effect. It produces a coldness toward the things of God, a lack of response to the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Word of God doesn't grip you as it once did, because we're allowing the world to share a part of our hearts. Other entertainments of the world. I know Christians that they go and see all these different types of worldly entertainments. They, you know, even the world labels them dangerous. That the world has all these labels, R-rated and PG-rated and so on. Even when the world says it's good, it's a G-rated movie, can you trust the world to know what's good? And you can't get into these things without them having their deadening effect. And that's why we warn one another. God said, come out from among them. Be separate. Don't touch the unclean thing. And I will receive you. And you will be my sons and daughters. I'll be your God. And sometimes the company we keep, we mix in with worldly people. We want to be part of the crowd. We don't want to be left out. Don't want to be made fun of. And so we just kind of cover up our testimony, and we kind of go along with them. We laugh at their jokes. We spend time with them. Sometimes they say things that are offensive to us as Christians, but we don't say anything about that. And after a while, those things don't bother us anymore. And you don't realize that the more we warm up to the spirit of this world, the closer we get to its fire, the colder we get on the inside. And then we wonder why God doesn't meet us, and why God doesn't break through in our lives, and why we hear about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, but we're not experiencing it. We're asking God, we're praying, but we find that on the inside we're putting out the fire of the Holy Ghost rather than fanning it to a bright flame. And so we see that's exactly what happened with Peter. He stood there and warmed himself. And then, as we read on, he was questioned. And Peter stood and warmed himself. Verse 25. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, didn't I see you in the garden with him? Then Peter denied again, and immediately the rooster crowed. Here twice now, we read of Peter's denial. And then I have a reference here to Luke 22. Let's see there. In verses 61. After a little while, another saw him. Verse 58. Thou art also one of his disciples, one of them. Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of an hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know what thou sayest, and immediately when he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What timing. Just as Jesus is being carried past Peter, Peter gives the third denial, the rooster crows again, and Jesus turns and looks at Peter. Jesus, who's undergoing a trial, Jesus, who's being tortured and beaten, thinks about Peter, remembers what he had said to him, and when their eyes made contact, Peter's heart was so smitten, and he went out and wept bitterly. You know, we've got to get away from the world. If we're really going to fulfill in God, if we're really going to find the Lord in the way that we're talking about and the way in which we're desiring, God has to teach us how to get away from the fire of the world in our lives. He's got to make us to see how dangerous it is to mix among those of the world, and to have fellowship with the world, and to have fellowship with the things of the world. And so we read here that Peter, in the light of that fire, denied the Lord, something he never thought he'd do, but he couldn't help himself. That fire, he saw the enemies of the Lord in the light of that fire, and he was fearful for his own life, and he got his eyes off of Jesus, and he got his eyes on other things, and he was very much taken up with himself, and so he ended up in that condition. I don't know where Peter went. I'm sure it was a very, very bitter time for him, weeping and so disappointed in himself, so humiliated, so ashamed of himself. You know, when people fail the Lord like that, it didn't usually just happen right then and there. If you look back, you'll see that there was a playing with the world, just getting close, a little warming up to that fire every once in a while. And something was getting hard on the inside. We didn't realize it. I mentioned that I was in Italy one time, and we went to Venice. And there they have the gondolas. And they have them tied up on a big post. And you see a whole line of these gondolas, and they're tied to these posts, waiting for some tourists to pay a lot of money to go for some romantic ride in the smelly waters. Well, anyway, I was looking at one of them, and it started. The wind started whipping up, and the wave started coming in, and the wave started coming out. And as the wave went out, you could see much lower on the pole, and the pole looked thick and strong above the water, but under the waterline, it was worn away and thin and looked rather fragile. And I thought, that's how it often is. On the outside, people look strong and spiritual. But if we play with the things of the world, underneath, on the inside, where no one sees, things are being worn away. And there will come a day when the pressure's too great and we'll snap. And it didn't have to be that way, but it was because of our carelessness. It was because of the worldliness the things that we played around with, that weakened us without our even realizing it. There was a wearing away, an eroding of our strength in God. And you find that out when you read about some of these evangelists, you hear about them that failed the Lord. You find out as they look into their life that, oh, they were playing around with pornography, or they were playing around with something else, and they were letting up in their prayer life, or they were getting taken up with worldly things, and most people didn't know it, and maybe they kept it secret and private, but it still had its effect. You know, you can hide it from others, you can fool yourself, but it still has its effect. And so that was tragic. And but the story doesn't end there, does it? We turn to John 21 and we read of another fire in the Gospel of John. And this fire was different because this fire was the fire that Jesus kindled. It's one that he started there on the seashore. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. The Bible says he appeared to Peter also. Now, we don't read of that encounter anywhere in the Bible. We read of Jesus meeting Mary in the garden. We read of Jesus appearing to some of the women on the way to the tomb. We read of Jesus appearing to this one and that one. But we don't read about that encounter with Jesus. It's just mentioned in the Bible. The Lord appeared to Cephas and to the 12. And I think that encounter between Jesus and Peter was so intimate, so private, that God didn't even let us see or look into it at all. But that was the beginning of hope for Peter. Jesus told, through the angel told the disciples, go tell the disciples and Peter that the Lord has gone before them into Galilee. And then somewhere along the way, the Lord appeared to Peter himself. But here in John 21, the disciples didn't seem to know what to do with themselves. Jesus was coming, Jesus was going. It was very different than when they had him before and lived with him for those 3.5 years. And so we read that Peter decided to go fishing. You know, we got to be productive. We got families to feed. We can't just sit around here waiting for Jesus every day, not knowing when he's going to show up or if he's going to show up. So he and some of the other disciples decided to go and catch some fish. And they were fishing, and they weren't getting any catch. And then someone on the seashore cried out to them, children, did you catch anything? And they said, no. And then he told them to cast the net on the right side of the ship, I believe. This is John 21. And therefore, and it says here in verse 6, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they did. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said, Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he cast himself into the sea as well. And the other disciples rounded up the fish and brought the nets to shore. When they got there, verse 9, it says, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus said, bring me some of the fish which you have now caught. And so they dragged the fish onto the shore, and they brought some to Jesus, and he placed that fish on the fire that he had kindled. He made that fire. And that, of course, speaks to us of the fire of the Holy Spirit. We sang about that before. 'Tis burning in my soul. The fire of heavenly love is burning in my soul. And so they gathered around that fire, and they warmed themselves, and they were fed. They had fellowship together around the fire that Jesus had kindled. And then we read that somewhere along the way, Jesus got close to Peter and began to ask him some questions. He could have asked him anything, but the thing that he asked him is, do you love me? So when they had dined, verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Then he said unto him, feed my lambs. Again he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said, feed my sheep. Then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. That's all that Jesus was interested in. Do you really love me, Peter? I know that you thought you loved me more than all the others, that if they would forsake you, that you would not. If they would forsake me, you would not. And you found out that your love fell far short, didn't it? And Jesus wanted Peter to face that, to come to grips with that. But he also wanted Peter to know that he saw that he did love him, that there was love in his heart for Jesus, and that if he would surrender that to Christ, that Christ would cause that love to grow and to burn brightly in his heart. And then he goes on and he tells him, he says, Peter, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and go wherever you wanted to. But when you get older, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He was telling Peter that one day, Peter, you're going to love me more than you love yourself. You're going to, rather than deny me, you're going to lay down your life for me. But it's not your love that's going to make that possible. But it's the fire of my love burning in your heart. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that's going to accomplish this. And that's the only way it can be accomplished. You know, our natural love for Jesus is small at best, and we'll never be able to stand the test. But when we get close to the fire of the Holy Ghost and we let that love begin to burn in our hearts, that love begins to possess us. That the warmth and the fire of that love begins to burn away all the earthly things, all the things of self. And we lose sight of ourselves, and we get a clearer sight of Jesus in the light of that fire. And there Jesus is able to possess us and accomplish his perfect will in our lives. And so the fire that Jesus kindled there on the shore speaks of the fire of the Holy Ghost, which he was going to send into their heart on the day of Pentecost. And here we see that the closer we get to that fire, the more we warm ourselves by that fire, the more our heart burns with love for Jesus. We lose sight of ourselves, we lose sight of everything else, and we just get lost in Christ, and He gets hold of us and causes our hearts to reflect His great heart of love. And that's what we've been doing at camp. We've been getting close to the fire of the Holy Ghost in every meeting. In every meeting, there's been the presence of God. And as we get around the Word of God, the fire begins to burn in our hearts. As we spend time waiting upon God, as we've opened our hearts in worship and lifted our voices and lifted our hands, we've been warming ourselves by the fire of the Holy Ghost. And our hearts are getting warm with love for Jesus. It's His love infusing our hearts and producing in us the life that Jesus died to bring about. And as we go back home, we're going to encounter the fire of the world. You know, the nice thing about camp is you get away from all of that. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to watch TV at camp. Don't have to watch it at home either, but there's no TVs at camp. We don't want the world at camp. Leave the world with the world. Leave the fire of the world with those that don't know Christ. But we come away from all of that. God has made this place a place where we can leave the world behind. Get away from all that. And we can just warm ourselves by the fire of the Holy Ghost. And as we do, the hard places in our lives melt. When you warm yourself by the spirit of the world, you get hard on the inside. But when you warm yourself by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, is a melting that takes place. A softening comes in, a tenderness toward Jesus. You begin to feel His love. We heard about that tonight. Though unworthy, Jesus loves us. He draws us. We hear His voice. He speaks to us. How many have testified in these days? The Lord spoke to me in that meeting. You know, when I first came up, the first thing we spoke about was we want God to manifest Himself in such a way in these days that we'll know that it was God that met us here at camp. And God often does that in that way. We hear the Word of God, and we find that God is speaking right into our need, just the thing I was thinking about, just the thing I was talking about. God is speaking into that need. It's God that's here. It's God that's working. We felt His touch. And now we want to get filled with that love. We want to get filled with that fire. And tonight we can do that. As our brother Stephen said, God can baptize in the Holy Ghost tonight. God can pour out His Spirit upon this meeting and upon individuals tonight. We've been praying to that end. We've been believing God. He's been doing it. And He has more for us tonight. And so we want to come. And if we've gotten too close to the world, we need to repent of that, don't we? We need to say, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Lord, what do I have to do with the enemies of Christ? Jesus, forgive me for wasting my time, warming my heart by those things that the world enjoys. They have the stains of Jesus' blood on them. God, I pray that You'll cleanse me of all desire for the world and worldly pleasures. Help me to see the world for what it really is. Cause the world to be a disappointment to me. Make me to see how empty it is, how it has nothing to offer me. Help me to pity the people of the world because that's all they have. But Lord, oh, draw me to that fire of the Holy Ghost. And in that fire, let me see the face of Jesus more clearly than I've ever seen Him before. And let my heart melt and be warmed, Lord, Oh, when I go back home, help me to stay close to that fire. Every time I open the Bible, let the fire burn in my heart. Every time I get alone with you in prayer and look into your face and just worship you and thank you for your love and tell you how I want to abide in you and I want to live close to you and be kept close to you this day, let that fire burn. Praise God. And every time I get to the house of God and we worship the Lord, oh, let the fire of the Holy Ghost move in my life until everything of self is burned away. Everything of the world is burned away. And it's all Jesus. Praise God. And so we have to make a choice. Everyone, no one can do that for you. I have to make it for myself, and you have to make it for yourself. But Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us away from the world, and he calls us to come and know him. In Canarsie, around in the winter when we get a lot of snow, my kids like to build a snowman. We've been doing it since they've been little. Brother Paul gave us a snowman kit. I never knew such a thing existed. We got the hat. We even have the pipe, but we use it, but we don't put anything in it. Anyway, we make the snowman, and we stick it out in front of the church so that when people walk by, they see the snowman. Or as people come to church, they see our happy snowman. But I thought, well, that's nice to have a snowman, but we can do better than that. So I started making signs. And one sign was, cold toward God, come in and warm up. Another sign was, God's love warms cold hearts. And, spend a lot of time thinking about these things. Now, I can't say that droves of people have come in because of our snowman, but I hope somebody smiled at least as they walked by and thought about it. But it's true. If you're cold toward God, the world's a cold place. Even with its fire, the world's a cold place. That was a cold, dark night when the world and the evil of the world was unleashed against Christ. And we find that the world is a cold place, and hearts are so empty and hard, bitter. And if they would come, the invitation is come and warm up. Let me melt your heart. Let me fill you with the fire of my love. Let me give you a sight of myself that will change you forever. Someone said, I got a sight of Jesus. I fell in love with Christ, and I could never be the same. I could never go back to the way I used to live. I don't want anything to do with that person anymore, but I want everything to be for Jesus and everything to shine and for him. And so let's look into our hearts tonight. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes you're not even aware that you're getting too close to the things of the world. Sometimes the things we listen to or the things we watch or the places we go, we're just not even aware of the effect it's having on us. But the Lord knows. And the Lord wants a heart that's tender toward him so that he can reveal himself in that satisfying way that we spoke about when we started this meeting. That we can know Jesus as our contentment and as all that we need. There's a song in the Bible, there's a lot of songs in the Bible. Song in the songbook that I don't think we sing very often in Canarsie, Jesus Calls Us. And I think we should sing that tonight in closing, and then we should come. Come. Maybe we'll pray out tonight. I don't know what the Lord will do in altar service. I don't know if there'll be a lot of praise and a lot of praying out, or if there'll be just a quiet warming ourselves by the fire of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes the quiet times are as powerful or more powerful than the times where we are more demonstrative and loud. God's in that too, I'm sure. But the important thing is that we pay attention to the Lord's presence and we open our hearts to his working.